What's up, everybody? Jared Mays here from Legends Look Back, live from UtiniCon, the probably not, but possibly we'll see, annual Utini Company Retreat 2024. And I'm joined by friend of the show, longtime Utini legend, the infamous Andrew Bell.
Hello there.
Andrew, you a couple of years ago read The New Jedi Order. We are this year on Legends Look Back covering The New Jedi Order in its entirety all year long and probably half of next year, let's be honest. Because it's an extremely long book series. You read The New Jedi Order a couple of years ago.
I did.
Took you like, what, 4 years, five?
I think something like that. Because in the process of reading it, not only was I reading it, but I made it my goal to get the entire, to buy each book and to track down the hardcovers. Even the duologies and the trilogies that are single bound.
Right, the Sci-Fi Book Club edition.
Yes.
Those are tricky to find.
Tricky and expensive.
I actually found the full set of those, two full sets of them, when I was hanging out with Freddie at Celebration a couple of years ago. It was a magical experience. We walked into the bookstore, and it was like the heavens parted. And there, the sun shone down on this full set of New Jedi Order hardcovers. We were carrying them over to the register, like stacks bigger than, like, went over our heads. Carry them over to the register, set them down. The clerks in the comic book shop, his eyes were like as big as watermelons. I was like, Freddie, driving to the post office, stat, we mailed two boxes of books to Rick.
Amazing.
From California. Anyway, The New Jedi Order is a very special books initiative. It's controversial among fans.
Yeah.
Overall, what was your initial impression, your opinion of The New Jedi Order in 1 minute or less?
Oh, boy. Okay. 1 minute or less, it was an incredible journey that I'm glad I did. And like any journey, it had highs, it had lows, it had moments where it was easy sailing, and it has had moments where it was not so easy sailing.
It was a lot of some force character.
But that being said, I'm glad I did it just because it feels kind of like the glue to the entire Legends continuity.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I love that. I think a lot of people would say that. Even the folks that love The New Jedi Order would say that there's some low moments. Let's talk about some of those moments that are divisive among fans. Spoilers, by the way, we won't spoil the ending of The New Jedi Order, but we will at least spoil the book. Okay, Vector Prime here. Spoiler for Vector Prime. What was your reaction to Chewie's death?
So I knew about it beforehand. So it wasn't like I knew it was coming, right? And I think I just knew the little bit of Legends lore that, oh yeah, Chewbacca got killed by a moon.
Right.
And so the entire time I'm thinking, like, how does a moon fall? Which, again, it's Star Wars, so you have a planet-destroying battle station. You have, like, a center point station that, like, sucks the life out of a galaxy or whatever, however that works. So, like, it's not unheard of. But I think the entire time I was just, like, in my back of my mind, I was like, all right, when are we getting to the part where Chewie gets killed by a moon?
Yeah, let's speed this thing up. Okay, let's get through the asteroid chase. Let's get to the moon death.
Right.
Yeah, it's a gut punch if you don't know what's coming. Rick, on our show, been on the show for, what, 2 years, maybe three at this point? He did not know it was coming.
What?
We kept it from being spoiled for him.
He did not know that Chewbacca died?
For years, right.
Wow.
Right. And shout out to our listeners for not spoiling that for him. Which we do have listeners, and they did choose to not spoil it for him. It would be easy if nobody spoiled it for him because nobody was listening, which is not the case. So shout out to everybody for that, and also to Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Epps in the chat for Chewbacca in Legends. Now, but in canon, they didn't go that direction.
No.
Which move do you think is better, killing off the family dog or letting him live eternally?
I do think, speaking of canon, in Rise of Skywalker, one of the few things I remember from my theater experience, I did think that they killed Chewbacca. I thought that they did it. I thought that they were bold. And I was like, man, wow, okay, the stakes are for real.
It's a big pump fake.
Yeah, big pump fake. But I'll say in Legends, part of me wonders how much of a relief it was for every Legends author that they no longer had to try to find creative ways to do dialogue for Chewbacca.
And dialogue is easy. You just do a lot of capital letters, italics, HGGHWRRRGGGHH.
Right. Chewie roared inquisitively. Or you just have Han or Leia following it up with his exact dialogue. No, Chewie, we're not going to fly directly into that space station. Why are you asking?
All right, here, let's role play a scene. I'll be Han and Chewie.
Okay.
Who are you going to be? I chose all the characters.
Leia.
I'll be Han, you be Chewie.
Okay.
Chewie, what do you think we should do? There's Imperials on our tail. You said it, Chewie.
Yeah, we'll see if that makes the final cut. Anyway, I mostly just wanted to use my Han Solo impression. Anyway, yeah, it is tough to write his dialogue. And I think they did give themselves a way out there, and it gave some stakes. It's controversial.
Yeah.
Some fans love it. Some fans hate it. Nevertheless, you can watch Chewbacca all day on Disney Plus. New Jedi Order. We talked about the death of Chewie. We talked about this infamous book series that has its highs and its lows. What's your favorite memory of the New Jedi Order?
My favorite memory, honestly, I think it was just getting, so you have all these new characters, you know, these Legends characters that came from different authors and stuff like that. And I feel like this was the first time that you really, truly got to see them all play together.
Sure.
You know, because like for so long before the New Jedi Order, it was like pretty much everything was Han, Luke, Leia. That was it. You know, with maybe some other characters sprinkled in. But then in the New Jedi Order, you have obviously the Solo children. This is outside of like Young Jedi Knight books, which, you know, are young readers. This is the first adult book series, if I'm not mistaken, that actually feature the Solo children prominently.
Right. As legit characters with their own agency. They're not just children.
Right.
They were in the Crystal Star, but
yeah,
I don't know that we're counting the Crystal Star.
I've not read that.
In the final tally. Yeah. We'll have to have you back on to talk about the Crystal Star. There's a big gold cube.
Yeah.
It's a deity that eats children.
Yeah, that's fun. That's very Legends.
Maru.
Right, it's very Legends.
His Crystal Star is part of the...
It's not in the series. Nobody wants
it. It's not the Glista trilogy?
No.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's a free-floating Legends book that everybody's like, yeah, please don't associate me with that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it. So, favorite memory of the New Jedi Order, seeing the characters interact, watching the Solo twins, the Solo kids develop. Who's your favorite Solo kid? Jason, Jaina, or Anakin?
All right, so I'm assuming we're going spoiler-free with everything.
Don't spoil, like, the big twist at the end of the Unifying Force.
Okay, so I will say it's honestly Anakin, because it just, I mean, it's the name.
Spoilers for Star by Star, by the way. Spoilers for Star by Star. You've been warned.
Okay, that was the main thing. I felt like, that was a very tragic ending for him, and this may just be, like, myth or whatever. Is it true that Lucas wanted him killed off because he didn't like that they named the character Anakin, or is that just like some internet BS?
According to legend, that is the story that I know it.
And that is tragic, because he was the one Solo child who I felt like kind of they did a truly great job of combining Han and Leia's personalities. I loved everything about him, like his kind of youthful optimism. You know, he was a little bit naive, and like his journey through that trilogy, or not the trilogy, but the entire series, is like you see him grow up, and then and I'll just say, from my personal reading experience, I like to listen to Star Wars music while I read the books, and the timing worked out to where I got to the end of Star by Star, where Anakin heroically sacrifices himself, and the track that happened to be playing was Your Father Would Be Proud from the Rogue One soundtrack.
Oh my gosh,
yes. So it added a little extra oomph and a little extra trauma to that experience.
That's fantastic. I want to recreate that. I just want to go read that chapter while that song plays.
Mm.
That's fantastic. I didn't have that experience because my first time reading it was like, years before Rogue One was even a concept. And wow, that's fantastic. I love that. Let us know your favorite Legends chapter pairing with a song title, everybody, in the comments. I love Andrew's favorite Solo kid. You like Anakin, obviously, big tragic events happen to him. There's a lot of tragedy in the series. One character who has kind of an epic fulfilling moment, as opposed to an extremely tragic one, though there is tragedy involved, is Corran Horn.
Yes.
Corran Horn. Now, Corran Horn, Utini mascot, Corran Horn gets a lot of crap at Utini.
Yeah, and I would like to go on the record here, because I feel like it needs to be said. Corran Horn is a great character, and I will die on that hill, and I am the Utini outlier. I am the pariah, and I don't care if it ostracizes me.
Well, he's got a really fulfilling fulfilling character arc as it culminates in Michael Stackpole's Dark Tide duology, which we just recently covered on the show. What was your impression of the culmination of Corran Horn's journey, at least as it climaxes in the Dark Tide duology?
I thought that one, like that duology was, because I want to say that immediately followed up Vector Prime. So like a tall task of like, okay, Salvatore just dropped this huge bomb and a moon, and just like, okay, he kicked things off with a bang, right? And so Stackpole kind of had the task of like, all right, so we have this big event, right? So like, how do we where do we go from here? I thought he did an excellent job, especially because it was focused on Corrin, kind of showing the stakes now that they're in it, right? Instead of like Vector Prime, everything is big, galactic, whatever. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, how do we get to see this one individual character respond to it? Now it also is big and epic. I mean, he has what, like a duel for the fate of the galaxy, basically, with
the fate of Ithor against Yuuzhan Vong, Warlord, Shai. And then Shidao Shai.
Yeah, Shidao Shai.
And then his underling, second in command, burns the planet anyway.
Yes, it's tragic. It is tragic. You have this great moment of victory for Corrin, and then like, yeah, never mind. We're just gonna destroy it anyways.
And then he's hunted and he's outcast from the galaxy as the killer of Ithor, even though it's like not his fault. So yeah, Cornhorn, everybody loves him, and yet he's kind of like the perpetual loser at the same time.
A little bit. And I don't know. I find him interesting, especially I think that book explores it a lot. And I know like obviously iJedi explores it, but like the fact that he, unlike other Jedi, can't use like telekinesis, and the way that he compensates using the Force in other ways. I love that aspect of his like Jedi journey.
Yeah, absolutely. He does have to compensate. All right, so we talked about Cornhorn, we talked about Chewie. Let's talk about the Yuuzhan Vong themselves as villains. Mm. They've been, by some fans, maligned for being a little bit too Star Trek-y.
I can see that.
And yet other fans love them, think they're really well-developed villains. They've got a really well-developed caste system and their biotechnology, and there's twists and turns, and you get attached to some, and Nominora's got this amazing character arc. What's your impression of the Yuuzhan Vong as villains?
I like them conceptually. I will say that how many books is it? 18 books? Something like that.
19.
19 books.
After the short stories.
After 19 books, it does reach a point where there are, which I get it, it's sci-fi, there's a lot of made-up words. But even in the realm of Star Wars, there's so much, Vong technology and made-up words and weird, it's just like you'll read a sentence and you'll realize that about 80% of the sentence were words that were created for the Yuuzhan Vong, and they get to be a bit much.
There's some Vong fatigue.
There's very much Vong fatigue. Like it got to the point with some books where if it was a Vong chapter, I would just skim read and just try to pick out the dialogue to figure out because I was just I don't care about their Ugolith masker.
Yeah, you've got Ugolith maskers, and you've got the Dovin basils.
Yeah.
Amphistaffs.
It's just everything. It's just I have to try to, and especially not having visual cues for that stuff to bring to mind, and you're having to create it in your head based off of their descriptions. It's it's easy if you talk about a lightsaber all the time. We know what a lightsaber is. We've seen it. If you want to talk about Coruscant all the time, we've seen it. But for this stuff that is specific to these books, that you're just having to create in your head as you read it, it gets a little bit tiring.
Yeah, that's why it's helpful now in the age of the internet to, you can Google some of this stuff.
Right.
And
there's like the comics.
I've got a role-playing game guidebook. That's the role-playing game guide to the New Jedi Order. So it's got pictures.
Oh, is it like West End?
Just all that, yeah.
Okay.
It's got pictures of almost all that stuff.
I think that probably would have helped me. And I did end up doing a lot of Googling throughout just to try to keep track of what was what.
Yeah, you have to do it, and there's no shame in that. Shout out to the Wook for helping us out with our Yuuzhan Vong lore. Hey, let's play a little game here. There's 19 books in the New Jedi Order. Without looking at your notes, can you name all 19 of them in order in 1 minute or less? Go.
No, I cannot.
All right, so a different game. All right, how about... Swing and a miss. I ruined the game, but I already have...
Swing and a miss. All right, how about this? What are your top three... New Jedi Order books and your bottom three?
Okay. All right. See, I'm glad you asked this because I realized we've been talking for 10, 15 minutes and I have yet to mention Traitor, which is a travesty because Traitor is a top five Star Wars book, period, and almost worth reading the entire New Jedi Order just so you can read Traitor.
I got to interview Matthew Stover, no big deal, in person at Legends Con back in September. And I'll have to send you that interview. We got a 25-minute interview with Stover. He talked about writing Traitor and what it was like to get inside Jason Solo's brain. When I sat down to interview him, I said, "Mr. Stover, thank you so much for your time with me." And he said, "Call me Matt." And I was like, "I don't think I can do that, sir." And it was fantastic. He said,
"You're not going to ask me all the dumb questions everybody else always asks me, are you?
No pressure."
And I was like, well, So what was it like working with George Lucas? He was very gracious and fantastic. I love interviewing him. So, but Traitor is a masterpiece. I 100% agree.
Yeah, I think it is maybe the most quotable book in all of Legends in terms of like good meaty quotes that like you can actually like sit and like think about.
It's psychological. It's like capital L literature.
Yes, that yes, exactly. So I would say Traitor's my number one by a wide, wide margin. Number two is probably going to be Star by Star because it does, I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it captures epic.
It really does. It's controversial. I know a lot of fans don't like it. Yeah, it's a little long. You can get lost when they're inside the world ship, not 100% sure what's happening. I did find it very compelling, personally.
Yeah, and I think kind of what I mentioned earlier about like getting to know the Solo children, but also these other characters, because it is called the New Jedi Order. So as much as I love some good old Han, Luke, and Leia adventures, like I'm kind of here for all of the new characters. And so to see them have agency on that mission, you know, and like grow attached to them. And then of course, like it, you know, again, Star by Star spoilers, Anakin among others end up dying, you know, it's almost kind of the Empire Strikes Back of the book trilogy.
Yeah.
Because Jason gets captured, Anakin dies. And it's like, well, where do we go from here?
More than a trilogy. Nanodecology is what it's called.
What is
the New Jedi Order?
Oh, yeah. I keep saying trilogy. It's obviously more than a trilogy.
The appropriate term is nanodecology, a 19 book.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that's...
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my second, would be Star by Star. My third, I would probably have to go with the duology, if that counts, if I get to count them both. But I'm going to go with Edge of Victory.
Edge of Victory 1, for me, is in my top 10 Star Wars books, period. Hard stop.
That, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a couple of years. That's the one that takes place on Yavin.
Yeah.
And Anakin is captured by the Vong.
Right.
And with Tahiri and... And that was really, truly, is it kind of like a spiritual successor to the Junior Jedi Knights book, right? Yes, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Ikrit.
She's
closed down a great character arc in that series.
Yes.
All right, so those are your top three. What about the bottom three?
Force Heretic, Force Heretic, and Force Heretic.
All three books in the Force Heretic trilogy. I'm of the mind that that should have been one book.
Yes, it was just, it's another one where it just like, you're reading it and you have no idea what they're saying because it's so much scientific jargon. And again, I've heard the complaint, like, and I'm actually, you know, me and Rick have this comment. I'm actually a bit of a Trekkie too. Not as much as I'm into Star
Wars. All right. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Legends.
But I'm a bit of a Trekkie too. I do enjoy Star Trek, but I don't read Star Trek books because I don't want to read a scientific textbook. It's like Star Wars isn't sci-fi. Star Wars is fantasy. It's fantasy in space.
Sure.
So when you get to the Force Heretic trilogy, it's just like, and then all like the Vong religious stuff, it's so repetitive and redundant, I feel like. So that's really, plus you're close to the end at that point.
Yeah, and you want to get to the finish line. You don't want to be taking laps around Bakura.
I was just ready. I was just earlier talking about my cross-country road trip to Star Wars Celebration 2 years ago, and I drove from Alabama to California, and before you get to Los Angeles, you have to drive through the most miserable desert that exists on the planet. And it is dull and there's nothing to look at. And you're just trying to get to the destination and you're uncomfortable. And you're just like, I just want to get there. And that's what reading the Force Heretic trilogy was like to me.
Yeah, I think there's some important stuff established there with Zonoma Sikote. And we won't get into details on that here. That's necessary development to get to the end of the series. And yet there's like a side mission to Bakura. Like, why do we always want to go back to Bakura?
Right.
Anyway, shout out to Freddy and the space dinosaurs on Bakura. All right, so we've talked about the top three, the bottom three. What about your favorite cover art of the New Jedi Order? On the one hand, we've got some controversial covers with some big alien faces that are kind of freaky, and then you've got some other covers that are just like kind of like a Photoshop of Jaina's face or Anakin's face or Jason's face. Then you've got some others that are like Force Heretic, which is iconic but kind of ethereal and abstract. Out of all the covers, 19 books of the New Jedi Order, what's your favorite?
So I honestly, because I'm looking at them now just to refresh my memory, Agents of Chaos is pretty uncomfortable to look at, so I'm not going to say Agents of Chaos, but
they're a little odd.
Edge of Victory 2 might be it, only because of Mara Jade's biceps. Those are really impressive.
Oh, wow, those are almost as big as James Luceno's biceps.
Right. That's right. No, in seriousness, though, I would probably go, I think I'm going to go with a little bit of a surprise pick here. I'm going to go Balance Point.
Balance Point. That's the next book we're about to cover on Legends Look Back. I'm in the middle of reading it right now. And it is cool. It's got the orange. You got kind of like a, yeah. kind of got like a what, like a Christ
silhouette.
What's going on there?
Yeah. No, I just, that one, I like it. Now it does do the classic Star Wars, like floating head deal, which, you know, you just kind of got to get used to, but.
We love our floating heads here on Legends Look Back.
Right.
Shout out to all the floating head listeners out there. If you're driving in your car and you're a floating head right now, leave us a comment and let us know. Well, hey, there's been obviously some big news in the world of the New Jedi Order, and that is there's this announced, who knows if it'll ever actually come to fruition, as is the case with these things. By the way, how'd you like the Rogue Squadron movie?
The Rogue Squadron, oh, it was great. Great theater experience. You know, I just, you know, I don't remember much from it, but I loved it, surely.
There's no way there could be a Rogue Squadron movie and we wouldn't love it. Anyway, we don't know if the New Jedi Order movie is ever going to come to fruition or not, but if it does, what, if anything, from the book series would you like to see made canon on the big screen?
What would I like to see made canon? I really just the premise, I hope they stick to it, just that it is a New Jedi Order, and like, again, you branch out with different characters and you see Jedi growing their abilities and stuff like that. Like, I hope it doesn't just become like a singular focus deal, you know, because it's like, I know I don't know, I guess it's confirmed that Daisy Ridley's returning. We've had a movie trilogy featuring Rey, and I love Rey as a character, but if this New Jedi Order movie features, if it's just more Rey journey, I'm gonna feel a little bit let down, just because I want more.
Yeah, you
want
to see some more Jedi get involved in the whole mix.
Jedi Finn, please. I am begging. I'm on my knees begging for Jedi Finn.
You heard it here first, folks. Andrew, he's literally on his knees. This is not a video podcast we're recording this time, but he's literally on the ground right here in the Utinicon HQ, begging for some Jedi Finn content. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Glad we could bag this little bonus interview here while we're live in person at LegendsCon. Before we wrap up, you mentioned how much you love music. I know that you've been making some music lately. How can fans online find your music?
Oh, okay. I wasn't prepared for this. So if you like, I guess, kind of folky, very specific, I don't even know how to describe our music. But anyways, my band is The Band of Us. You can find us on Spotify. We have about 3 songs out now. And if I could ever get my bandmates to practice, we might put out some more. So,
well, that's great. Well, you can listen to those 3 songs on repeat while you read the rest of the 19-book Nanodecology, The New Jedi Order. And who knows, maybe you'll have a transcendent payoff moment while you listen, just like Andrew did as he was reading star by star. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. May the Force be with you.